Hear me now? Gotcha. All right. A couple of things I want to do before we start. If you've got a singing program in front of you, a couple of things I want you to do. Pick up a songbook, if you will. We're not going to sing anything, but I want you to look in the front of the book. You should find in there a label recognizing someone dedicated that book to. Back in 2003, when we purchased new books, we decided at that time that we would allow folks to purchase a book for the church and recognize somebody either in memory or just by way of recognition, and we would put their name in the front of that book. So we actually have 178 of those, and I thought what I would do before we start is to share with you the names in those 178 names that are in those books. I think it would be interesting to know who they are. One other thing, too, on the back of your program, there's a listing of whom I could remember, and through all of the files that I had and shared with some others, song leaders who have led here at 36th Street from the beginning, really. I initially said, let's do it for this generation back to about the 70s, but then I got some other names, and in fact, this may be a full listing of names that go back to the beginning of 34th Street. Jack Long reminded me this morning that I'd missed somebody, and he said Lawrence Barker should be on this list, and so I would agree with that. So, Jim, if you would put up the first slide presentation, please. Okay. So these are the names. It'll take about 2 minutes or so to run through these names. And then Jay's going to come and lead a song. Lead the prayer and then his song.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you very humble. Reading those names brought back so many memories. Father, thank you for those people, what they mean to a bunch of us here, what they mean to you as they served you their lives. Many who have gone to the reward, and many that are still with us here, striving to do your work. Thank you, Father, for those names. Father, tonight as we look at singing and what songs mean to us as individuals and as a church, we're so very thankful and appreciative of the gift of song. Father, thank you for your scriptures, which become song, and the men and women of faith that have penned those songs. How they teach us to be better, to love you, to stay faithful to your church, and to work for your cause. Father, thank you for the gift of song. Father, we're mindful of near misses. Thank you for sparing Doug. Father, we know danger is always about us, and sometimes breathing can be a risky business. Father, thank you for being there in all those times that we can always look to you for comfort and succor and hope that we're all going to make it. We're all going to be just fine. Father, most of all, we're thankful for your Son who gave all that we might receive all. And we're so very thankful for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Oh my. John asked for our favorite songs. Ha! I got about 50. So I had to narrow it down greatly. And we'll all struggle with that tonight. I love the hymns. I love the old hymns. But there's a certain category of song that I love the best, and that's scripture songs. Songs that are taken directly from the holy text and put words to them. Songs like Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. That's a psalm. Unto the hills do I lift my eyes. And then there's this one here, which is the 27th psalm, first verse. So if you would, please sing with me, The Lord is My Light.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And he is my strength, the defense of my life.
Kelly's going to be next. Where's Kelly? One thing I wanted to mention to you, the names that were back here, I made a copy of those, and there's some extra copies on the desk back there if you'd like to pick one up before you leave.
The song I picked was Victory in Jesus. I'll explain in a moment why I picked that song, but I want to read a couple of passages here. In 1 John 5:1 through 5, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? In another passage, 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will raise imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Now, the reason I picked this song, it is one of my favorites, but the reason I picked this song, when I'd attended Lynn Street back in the 80s, there was a good friend I had named Walter Jones. And Walter Jones and I talked a lot, and his favorite song was Victory in Jesus. So I picked this song in memory of dear Walter. He passed away years ago. He was a lot older than I was, and the last time I talked to him, he had been out shoveling snow with the neighbors and helping the neighbors. And I said, Walter, you need to be careful. You know, you're not a young man. And sad to say, that was the last time I talked to him. He passed on shortly after that. So this song is in memory of my dear friend who passed on and received his victory in Jesus. I heard
a marvelous story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
old songs, favorite songs, great songs. In 1916, a man named Austin Taylor wrote this song. He also wrote the melody, the notes. But when John mentioned what we were going to do, and particularly later when I saw the position of where this song was to be, I knew what I had to do. That seems a little strange, maybe. A lot of you know that I sing this song a lot. But I was compelled, I felt that I had no other choice but to share this song. Because this song reflects and glorifies the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This song also reflects all those songs that we've just sung and the songs that we're going to sing. Because Jesus left the example, and if you think about it for just a second, that all the songs that we have reflect God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they are all one in purpose. And so they're here this evening. They're here now, in the midst of us, a great throng of people. I don't know how it's accomplished, but they're here. They're here to hear us sing praises to the Father. And that's why we come here. That's why we were here this morning, because of what Jesus did. He gave willingly his life for us. And so all these songs reflect everything that we do and say 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for however long days that we have. So that singing this song, we show that we do everything in the name of the Lord. So this is what we're going to sing. I want you to bear with me a little bit. I don't have too much of a voice this evening at all. I sort of spent it this morning. But be that as it may, they'll guide me through it. This is the song.
Father, you do in mercy, you call in the name of the Lord, you call in the name of man or creed, you call in the name of the blessed Lord, you all call in his name, you all in the name of the Lord, in word or deed as God decreed, you all in the name of the blessed Lord. Be not deceived by word. All in the name of the Lord. The Spirit says in word or deed, do all in the name of the blessed Lord. Do all in his name. Do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the blessed Lord. If you are told, all in the name of the Lord. Oh, do not trust in world renown. Do all in the name of the blessed Lord. Do all in his name. Do all in the name of the Lord. In word or deed, as God decreed, do all in the name of the blessed Lord. Till close the name. All in the name of the Lord. Dear Christian friends, if you'd be one, do all in the name of the blessed Lord. Do all in his name.
Wildwood, I am now the oldest song leader in this congregation.
Number 541. I dislike public speaking. I don't do it well. That is one of the reasons why I love leading singing, because the words have already been chosen. The intonation, the timing has already been chosen. More than that, you have the opportunity to try to help lead people in praise and reflection and in getting their hearts into a point where it is makes the worship that much better. This particular song was taught to me or was requested by Betty Ann Miller and is one of my favorites.
Presence of peace, control of my will, bid this struggling heart be still. Bid my tears and doubt cease, hush my spirit into peace.
I don't mind public speaking. You might notice that the wording on the title of this song looks a little bit different than maybe what you've seen. And it comes from the idea that my wife, as a music teacher, picked her own funeral songs. Not very surprising. She had a whole list of songs, and she gave them to a fellow music teacher and asked, when I die, this was a good, you know, year and a half, 2 years out from her death, she says, would you lead the songs at my funeral? And he says, oh, well, okay, and he kind of set that aside. But she was serious, and she wanted the theme centered around happy at her funeral because she knew where she was going. She understood that. And so on her birthday in 2020, which was a Sunday, I did a lesson entitled The Glory Landway, and I used the verses from the song to speak about why it is that we should be happy. This is a lady who did not fear death. She knew what was far better, and she wanted to make sure everything was just right, not just picking the funeral songs. She says, didn't you buy an urn for me? I'd like to see it. Okay, that seemed a little weird. And then she says, didn't you write my obituary? Can I look at it? I said, okay. She had some editing changes. She says, I don't like the picture you picked. How about this other one? But that's the way she was. For her, death was not an ending, but a change of address. That's how she saw it. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." Meaning, we all have to be separated from our bodies, but none of us, if we choose God, need to be separated from Him. That second death. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. This is a picture of how she loved life. And somebody recorded this saying of her at one point, "We have to know the valley to appreciate the peak." Quite a lady. And so this is true, and it seems like victory seems to be the theme of the evening here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, "When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And so I heard a lesson one time entitled, "Are You in the Way?" Now when we hear that, it sounds like we're in the way of people, that we shouldn't be a place where we are, that we need to get out of the way somehow. But in this case, the song asks, "Are you in the way? I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way." So that's the question we should be thinking about as we sing this song. Are you in the way? It's a happy time. It's a happy song. We're a happy people. Let's sing.
I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land, golden way, telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the glory land, golden way. I'm in the glory land, golden way. I'm in the glory land, golden way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land.
Like many of the song leaders that have come up here this evening, this is one of my favorites. But if you know the background of this song, it is hard to get through. It's not only one of my favorites, but it is one of the most impactful songs that I've ever had the pleasure of learning and to sing. The writer of this song is named Horatio Spafford. And it was composed by Philip Bliss. But Horatio Spafford was an individual who experienced great tragedy throughout his life. And in many ways, I would compare it to what Job went through when he was going through his trials and suffering as well. It started when Horatio was met with tragedy by the death of his son. He lost his son in the great Chicago fire of 1871. And not only did he lose his son, he lost most of his finances and a way to provide means for his family. Right off the bat, that would knock a lot of us down. That would be tremendously tragic to go through and experience. To have to lose one child is hard enough. But when he sent his the remaining of his family, which was consisted of his four daughters and his wife, on a ship to take care of things, tragedy struck again. And his four daughters were lost at sea. But his wife survived. To go through such tragedy and to come out on the other side still praising God is truly remarkable and inspiring. And tragedy like this, I believe, is not the will of the Father, but a consequence of the reality of sin. Because sin, in its very essence, is death. And it shows how desperately we need a loving Father who gave His only Son at great cost to Him, at no cost to us. And it is truly remarkable to see an individual who experienced such great tragedy, the loss of almost his entire family, and he still finds a way to praise God because he knows that no matter what this life throws at him, glory awaits him on the other side because he remained faithful. And it remains on the other side for us as well if we but remain faithful. So with that in mind, let us sing number 345.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows I see,
it is well with whenever I see the blue skies and rainbows, it reminds me of that first rainbow that God's put up to remind good old Noah that there be no more floods. But it really is an interesting song, and my interest in the song goes way back, and I'm not sure what happened to the... Oh, there it is, so I can move the button myself. Interestingly enough, about 40 years ago, on Sunday evenings, I had a little class of kids that would come down front, and we would sing songs, and I would tell a Bible story and so forth in Middletown, the Middletown Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky, and we would do it every Sunday evening. I was teaching the children this song, Blue Skies and Rainbows, and I wrote the words on a large white tablet, you know, the kind that had a big tall one, and I wrote it at home on this white tablet. And so I put it up so that they could see it. Interestingly enough, our daughters were then about 5 and 3 and maybe a little less, maybe 1 or a little less than 1. I decided I would teach the song to the congregation. And so I had taught it to the kids, and I wanted the congregation to learn the song. Interestingly enough, our oldest daughter could be heard saying to everybody, "My dad wrote that song." Because indeed she was right. I did write that song on that sheet of paper that they all saw it on, but I didn't write the song. The song is really a quite interesting one. By the way, that's the girls when they're about that age. And the blonde one on the right is the one who said that, by the way. Her name is Becky. And there they are, what they look like today. Nothing like that. Interestingly enough, the song was actually written by Gary Mabry in 1971. He was a member of the music faculty at Abilene Christian University. Interestingly enough, initially he called the song "Jesus Is Well and Alive Today" because it was only the chorus. He wrote the chorus, and then later on, the whole song came about in 1971. Here's what one singer of the song said, and I wanted to share this with you because I think it's the best description of how we ought to see this song. He said, it was and is a happy song about what the world around us is like when we have Jesus in our hearts. And then it goes on to say, the song was lighthearted and fun, and we just assumed that with Jesus in our hearts, everything would be wonderful. But then life actually happened. And he went on to say, there was loss and failed relationships and the death of a loved one and even the death of a child. Life didn't turn out to be blue skies and rainbows after all. He felt as if it wasn't quite true, and he felt as if he was kind of at a loss. For a while, I resented this song because I saw it as one giving false promise that Jesus was going to guarantee us a carefree life. But that has changed as time went on. One thing I saw after carefully reading the lyrics was that there was no such false promise in the song. There would be trials and pain in this life, but what the words say is that even in the hardest and most trying of times, we will be able to see the blue skies and rainbows that are up above us. The chorus is the key, he said. Jesus is well and alive today. And I think he's probably right. Our guarantee of hope is that this same Jesus who died for our sins didn't stay dead, but he's alive and well today. This same Jesus lives and makes intercession for us at the throne of God. I kind of like that. I think he got it right. And it's not all blue skies and rainbows. We live in a real world, a fallen world. But it's a meaningful song, and I think that's one of the reasons that most of us like the song. So let's sing it together, Blue Skies and Rainbows.
Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see when my Lord is living in me. I know that Jesus is well. Are words of that surrounds me. All may be aware of the one who made it all. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part.
So now we all know that both of our preachers can really lead singing, so. Just one more song story before we dismiss, if you'll bear with me. This man is the prolific, the prolific songwriter and composer Tillett Sidney Tedley. He wrote or composed many well-known hymns, and this is a partial list of the ones that we have in our book. Tedley was born in 1885. He started writing songs at age 20, taught singing schools. He served as a full-time preacher of the gospel. He composed 130 songs and published 14 songbooks. All this in a lifetime that spanned 102 years. And I want you to think about that for a minute, about what this man experienced in his life, other than what's listed here on the slide. He would have been 15 years old at the turn of the 20th century. He would experience the roaring 20s, the stock market crash, the Great Depression. He would live through both world wars, Korean War, Watergate, the Vietnam War, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the whole of the Cold War. He was born when Grover Cleveland was president, and he died when Ronald Reagan was president. Think about that span, 19 U.S. presidents. A couple of additional things that I learned about Mr. Tedley is that he began each morning reciting the books of the Bible and naming all of the presidents of the United States. Also, on June 2nd of 1985, that's the year he would have been 100 years old, across the United States, they proclaimed that day as Tillett S. Tedley Day, and the congregation sang his songs. And I remember back then, we actually led those songs here that day on June 2nd of 1985. So the song I'm leading tonight, which will also be our invitation song, is Heaven Holds All to Me. It's one of Tedley's most well-known songs. In fact, it's etched on the bottom of his tombstone, his headstone down in Texas. And I wondered about that. I read about it, and I looked up his headstone, and I couldn't find it on there. But it's actually etched on clear on the bottom in black. You can't see it, but I made it white so you could see it. It's actually etched down there on the bottom. Heaven Holds All to Me. Also found out earlier today that it was the late Bill Butterfield's favorite song. So here's the story behind the song. One day in 1932, and Tedley would have been, 47 or so years old at that time, he went back to visit his old home place and where he had lived as a child. Now, I couldn't find an actual photo of his farm or his home place, but I found this painting that I think probably shows what it probably looked like. In his memory, the place was as new as when he was a boy, but when he arrived at his home years later, it was in shambles. The barn was ramshackled and falling down. The trees were dead or gone, and he's not even sure the house was even standing. But Tedley sat on the ground. He leaned against the tree, and he took out his pocket-sized Bible, turned to a blank page in the back of the Bible, and there he wrote these words: Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. This hymn, Heaven Holds All to Me, has motivated many thousands of worshipers. Tonight we ask, what is your attitude? Are you focused on this world? Are you attached to it? Or do you have a sense of the fact that you're only passing through, headed for an eternal home? This life is transitory. This life is only a prelude to eternity. The songwriter Tillett S. Tedley put it all in perspective when he wrote this hymn. If we can assist you in any way tonight, we ask that you please come and stand as we sing Heaven Holds All to Me.
Earth holds no treasures but perish with using. However precious they be, yet there's a country to which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me.
Supper is prepared for you back in the multi-purpose room, and if you'll go there, you'll be served right away. Terry, we're not going to sing another song, so you may come and
well, I think it's been a very inspiring service tonight. We need to do more of this. One thing I love about Sunday evening announcements, it gives me a chance to fix all the things I messed up this morning. Okay, one thing, Elder Deacon meeting tomorrow night. Boy, it snuck up on me, you know, and I got to thinking today, and I thought, Ed Limley is home. They went ahead and brought him home today. He is pretty weak. Also, I think this morning I mentioned that next Sunday was our Young at Heart. Maybe I should have said Love and Care. So I'm sure I was the only one in the audience who didn't know what I should have said. The nuts have arrived at OVU, and Stepping Stones are selling those. There's an order list on the back table, and if you see something there you want to get, just see Jenny, and she can help you with that. Probably I know most of you have noticed Angie Newberry's with us tonight, and how that's really wonderful. And the thought struck me a moment ago that all of the people who have had the COVID here at 36th Street, they're all been back to church. And I think, praise God, we have really been blessed there. Is there anything?
Amen.
Okay, true. Is there anything I missed or we need to add? If not, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this inspiring service tonight. These wonderful hymns bring great joy to our heart. They teach fabulous lessons from your word. And we pray, Father, that we'll think on these things. And many times it's good to take a songbook and just go through and read the words of the various hymns that have been written. We pray, Father, that as we go out into the week, that we'll truly let our light shine, that we will realize the joy we had, that yes, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but yet as long as we have you, we can make it through this world with the great anticipation of what you have in store. These things we ask in your Son's wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.